Inside on the public broadcasting network. Got the wood stove going, it's crackling, feeling a little Christmassy. Just listening to some Tchaikovsky, of course, the Nutcracker. Got a great classical Christmas collection, a bunch of great songs, thumbs up on the Pandora. I don't have any chestnuts to roast on this fire, but I think I have some almonds and some scotch. And that's not sounding too bad right about now. Coming at you from RBN, please donate. Go to that republicbroadcasting.org donate button. Smash it. Send the fundage. Mail that check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719 extension 3. Spend $100 or more on donations, and you will be eligible to win a book from John Statmuller's library. So please donate. Once you have donated to RBN, I'm doing a little fundraiser of my own to rebuild my Dodge Ram. There is a GoFundMe that it will be set up. The link will be in the show description. And you can click on that and throw some bones to your boy in Kentucky to help me get some fundage going to get my work truck back and running before the season gets busy in the spring. I also have a Cash App. That address will be on there. Or you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com if you want to mail in some fundage. And I'll give you instructions on how to do that. Taking your calls live on your Monday Night Drive, 512-248-8252. By the way, I appreciate all the generous donations so far. I've gotten letters and emails thanking me. I didn't know I was this much loved. It's starting to go to my head. I'm not even going to lie. But tonight, we're going to do business as usual. I'm going to try to stuff that ego and just report the news as I see it with a little bit of commentary and your calls. Got the border crisis. And apparently, a Texas mayor has declared a state of emergency as migrants cross over the border down there in old El Paso. Texas mayor, from WKMS, Texas mayor has declared a state of emergency. El Paso, Texas, the mayor of the border, Texas City, declared a state of emergency Saturday over concerns about the community's ability to handle an anticipated influx of migrants across the southern border. My comments here, why is it anticipated? Well, last month, some lower-level federal judge struck down Title 42, which was enacted by Trump. And now I think there's, you know, anticipating a lot of people trying to cross over. Now I'm going to cover this in the next article that Roberts struck down Biden's strike down of 42. And we'll see how this plays out. But El Paso Mayor Oscar Leeser issued a state of emergency declaration to allow the city on the U.S. border with Mexico to tap into additional resources that are expected to become necessary after Title 42 expulsions end on December 21st, according to the El Paso Times. So this article was written before Roberts struck down, Biden struck down, by the way. Title 42 allowed states to expel illegal immigrants. Leeser had previously resisted issuing an emergency declaration, but said he was moved to action by the sight of people on downtown streets with temperatures dipping below freezing, according to the Times. I too would much rather see them on the other side of the border with temperatures below freezing, just quite honestly. That's not the way we want to treat people, according to Leeser. He said during a news conference on Saturday evening, a ruling Friday by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals means restrictions that have prevented hundreds of thousands of migrants from seeking asylum in the U.S. in recent years are still set to be lifted Wednesday unless further appeals are filed. The 21st, this Wednesday. So again, this was before Roberts' thing. I just wanted to comment on this article because I had it in my prep for about a week now. What sort of additional resources in this emergency declaration is he going to tap into? I mean, the only logical resources would be to have the governor enact the guard and like he said he would, and go to the border and just start turning these people away. You know, sorry, not sorry, can't come in. You know, declare an invasion. And that's what Abbott said that he was going to do. I did pull up an article on that. Let's see where we're at. Now, I haven't seen any news on this Abbott declaration since November. If you just Google it, you'll see Texas.gov, Governor Abbott orders DPS to use every available strategy to secure the border. Governor Abbott authorizes Texas National Guard. Texas Tribune, deplorable conditions under mission, Texas National Guard. Governor Abbott's deployment of thousands of National Guard members to the border for an extended period is an unprecedented move. I've not seen any follow-up on this. I don't know what happened. Are the guards still down there? Is the federal government messing with them? But I do know that after he deployed these guardsmen, that you did have Biden attempted to lift Title 42. It was a judge, actually, a lower-level federal judge attempted to lift the 42 thing. So let's follow up on this. Justice Roberts just acted today, Forbes.com. Supreme Court stops Biden from lifting Trump-era Title 42 border policy for now. And this is the 19th. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts issued an order Monday temporarily blocking the end of Title 42, a border policy allowing for the swift expulsion of asylum seekers. So what, about a month ago? So you had Abbott enacts the guard to protect the border. Title 42 is halted by some lower-level judge, and then Roberts says, no, you can't do that. We're bringing, you know, you can't stop 42. It's basically what's going on. Back to the article and like 50 pop-ups. Key facts. Roberts gave the Biden administration until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, so that would be tomorrow, to issue a response ahead of Wednesday's scheduled expiration of policy. A federal district court judge struck down Title 42 last month, calling it an arbitrary and capricious rule that violates federal law. Really, guy? The Constitution says that we're to protect our borders, so this judge is smoking some really, really bad crack. Next note, the attorneys general of 19 Republican states sued to keep Title 42 in place, arguing that lifting it will cause a crisis of unprecedented proportions at the border, and appealed to the Supreme Court after a circuit court tossed their case on Friday. Next note, Robert did not rule on the merits of the case Monday. He simply halted the halt. He halted the halt, right? and gave Biden till 5 o'clock tomorrow night to give a response. So this thing isn't, I mean, this isn't a thing yet, right? This is just justices doing their thing. The White House did not immediately respond to a request from comment from Forbes. How will the Biden administration respond since federal authorities have heavily relied on Title 42 for immigration control, despite the president's official opposition to the policy? That would be Resident Brandon. The White House is working on plans to come up with a new policy to deter rampant immigration for when Title 42 ends that may incentivize asylum seekers to apply for entry. Again, this is great fodder for the headlines and for the cutards, but I don't know that it really means anything. This lower level judge said Title 40, halts 42. It's going to expire anyway Wednesday. And Roberts is just halting the halt. What the real problem is, the real problem is legal immigration. Yes, illegal immigration is an issue. Yes, we've had more illegals, try to rush the border since Biden took office. Agreed. There's this whole psychological thing where, Trump supposedly in their minds is the guy that's kicking out immigrants and Biden welcomes them. There's that whole psychological thing going on. So these migrant gangs are more emboldened. I'll give you that. But even if you stopped and halted all illegal immigration, you still have a massive, massive problem with legal immigration, with up to 1 million per year coming in legally, and each one allowed to bring up to like 10 family members. So, I mean, how many people is that? And what we're concerned here is white displacement. These people don't want to call this out. They want to talk about legal, illegal, American citizen. What it's about is non-whites coming in to replace the white European stock that founded this country. That's what it's all about. And legal immigration is a big enough problem. So, I mean, they could very well just be given the cutards something to talk about here, based Justice Roberts, right? Oh, look at base Justice Roberts, man. He's forced. No, they're just playing a bunch of games. And they'll end up getting rid of Title 42. They'll allow illegals to come in and not be able to deport them. Maybe they'll throw us a little bit of a bone and say, well, we're just not going to allow so many. We're going to cut it down a little bit. But again, even if they do that, even if they stopped all illegals, the huge problem is legal immigration. And until we address that through legislation, which doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime in my lifetime, until that's addressed, it's going to be an issue. And, that's probably why we don't hear a lot about Abbott doing the National Guard thing at the border. I mean, he can stop everything from coming into Texas. Well, what about New Mexico? What about Nevada? I mean, what about all of Southern California? They're still going to be pouring in there. So something has to be done on a federal level. And as much as I'm in favor of states' autonomy, and I love that, I love that states are taking more autonomy since the COVID hoax and the BLM and all of that, something's got to be done on a national level. And so until we take back the federal government, or until it collapses, which is what I think is going to happen, and we replace it with something better, I mean, it's not, we're not going to get any viable options here. We're just going to keep getting flooded, and whites are still going to become a minority in this country. A hated minority, tantamount to the South African violence that we read about. Let's get back to another article that I've been sort of trying to cover, the railroad strikers. You had this whole thing where the railroad workers were demanding more days off. The federal government's like, yeah, you get one day off. And they said they were going to strike. A Guardian article is following up on this. Railroad workers pressure Congress and Biden into addressing workers' condition. Railroad workers and unions are ramping up pressure on U.S. Congress and Joe Biden to address poor working conditions in the wake of the recent move to block a strike when Congress voted to impose a contract agreement. How do you block a strike? you're the people are either going to strike or they're not, right? Am I right? If everybody on the railroad just walked off, like how could they block that? Were they going to arrest them? Probably. I wouldn't put it past them. Well, you know, let's be all, by all means, let's let BLM tear up cities and burn things down and kill people in the streets. But if you're going to strike, if you're going to walk off the job because of your conditions, we're going to arrest you. I mean, I'm not saying that's what they're doing, and no article has said that, but that's the implication, isn't it? They're going to block the strike. Anyway, workers and labor activists in America have criticized that action for undermining the collective bargaining process in the U.S. and workers' rights to strike. 12 labor unions, which represent about 115,000 railroad workers. 115,000. What if every one of them walked off and they put everything to a halt right in the Christmas season? What kind of bargaining could they have, you know? Anyway, 115,000 workers across the U.S. had been negotiating railway carriers since 2019 for a new union contract. By September, the prospect of a strike threatened to shut down the U.S. railroads and to hit the U.S. economy to an estimated $2 billion a day. Oh, $2 billion a day, that's chump change. Hell's bells, we'll send them $100 billion over to Ukraine. We'll spend that, no problem. Just print it. Just print it. That eventually prompted Congress, backed by the president, to impose the settlement. You always knew that this was the culmination of the process. You knew that Congress was going to push you back to work. You just didn't know when and under what conditions. Put back to work, said Ross Reuters, a locomotive engineer based in Iowa and co-chair of Railroad Workers United. Railroad workers had pushed for paid sick days to provide relief for grueling schedules caused by labor cuts. Again, the railroads did this to themselves. They, because of the COVID hoax, they cut all of these workers. And so the people that were left had to work these long hours and couldn't get days off. And they're like, enough. Many workers were on call 24/7 every day of the year, often having to work while sick or forego doctor's appointments because of their scheduling demands and strict disciplinary policies around attendance. As conditions have worsened, railroad carriers have made record profits. Again, railroad carriers have made record profits and spent billions of dollars on stock buybacks and dividends to shareholders. Meanwhile, U.S. railroad jobs have declined significantly in recent years, from 1 million in the 1950s to fewer than 150,000 in 2022. That's a significant drop, considering that we still rely on railroads very much in this country. I got one right by my house. It goes by like several times a day. Kind of like it, I'm not going to lie. It gives me a little bit of a nostalgic feel for what it was like back in the day. But I'm in a small town. Anyway, the point is that these companies are not hurting. They're not hurting one bit. It's just like the old thing that the capitalist CEOs, they'll get their pay raises, they'll get their bonuses, and they're not going to do anything for the workers. And if it looks like their bonus or pay raise is going to be threatened, they'll cut worker salaries and they'll cut benefits. That's what they always do. That's what capitalism is in the democracy, in a brutal democracy, where you don't even have freedom of speech at the end of the day, nor can you have workers' rights. Again, all of these workers, all of these 150,000, should have walked off the job and damned the consequences. And once things grinded to a halt, they probably had a better bargaining chip. I'm going to cover a little bit more of this and then maybe go back to the strikes in the 80s that Reagan stopped on the other side of the break. Be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central. You turned and you ran. Oh, yeah. Wolves lived right from my hands. Yeah.
Intervene and force them to not strike. Well, I mentioned, are they going to arrest them? Well, look, you know, we had a very horrible precedent set. This was August 5th, what was it, 1986. Reagan basically fired 11,000 striking air traffic controllers who had ignored orders to return to work, and also banned them from federal service for life. Now, the two things that the government controls when it comes to unions are the airlines and the railways, because they consider that, government infrastructure. And this all goes back to 1926, Congress's Railway Labor Act. It was one of the first labor laws in the country. It gives Congress the right to intervene in disputes between rail unions. So I asked what would happen if all 150,000 rail workers just walked off the job. Well, they would be fired. But how do you replace them? I mean, that's a very grueling job. It requires a lot of training. I would argue that the air traffic controllers required even more training and is even more grueling, but there were a lot less of them. And that was in the 80s when you had a lot more qualified white people out there that they could be replaced with. We're looking at a different time now. So I still say that all of the railroad workers should have walked off and dared the government to replace them. I don't think that that would have been an easy task. But I'm not an authority on this. I've just read some things and studied up on it. Having been a child in the 80s, I had to like read retrospectively in history. So if any of you have any more insight or an opinion on this, please give me a call and we can hash that out. So there we go. That's where we're at. Railroad workers are ordered not to strike, I guess, or they'll get fired. Speaking of strikes, I found this very interesting. In the UK, 100,000 plus nurses walk off the job to protest the financial crisis. And the government is not willing to consider any type of pay package. This from RT. More than 100,000 nurses in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland walked off the job on Thursday in the largest strike in the 106th year of their union, which is the Royal College of Nursing. According to Sky News, about a quarter of hospitals and community teams in England, all trusts in Northern Ireland, and all but one health board in Wales are taking part in the industrial action, which is scheduled to continue on Tuesday. British nurses have reached a crisis point, leaving them no choice but to strike, according to the RCN committee chair, Denise Kelly. Citing years of real-term pay cuts, multi-year public sector pay freeze, and the runaway cost of living, the nurses are demanding a 19% pay rise, the inflation rate plus 5 points. The government has offered a pay increase of just 4.5% for most nurses, with those at the lower end of the pay scale receiving up to 9%. A spokesman for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak called the offer fair and reasonable. It is fair and reasonable. You will work with 4.5% on Thursday, pointing out that the nurses had gotten a 3% bump last year. Despite growing pressure from the public and even from within the Conservative Party, the Conservative Party is giving pressure. Well, hell, that's a different story. 10 Downing Street has insisted that there are no plans to reconsider nurses' pay packages. Really? Even though the conservatives lean on you, you better watch it, man. Those conservatives are—they're a tough lot to deal with. You know, over here they demand that you can't teach trannyism to anybody under the fourth grade, and they mean that business, pal. They will put their foot down. Anyway, Health Secretary Maria Caulfield has argued that every 1% extra in pay increase would cost the public $700 million. Pounds, which is $853.25, or $853.25 million in U.S. dollars. So every 1% in pay increase would cost the public $8.5 million in U.S. dollars. And trying to match inflation would just make the problem worse. Well, you know what? I'll bet the politicians aren't taking a pay cut. I bet they're getting pay raises. They always did when I was in government service. It didn't matter what happened. The politicians got their pay raise, you know, just like CEOs do, just like the railroads. The railroad companies are going to get their record profits and piss on the workers. So good for these nurses for walking off. I hope they stay gone, and I hope that the health crisis reaches unmanageable levels and that they have to beg these healthcare workers to come back. Anyway, look for the next break. Back on the other side with your call, my friend. Since you've been gone, there's no one taking your place. Since you've been gone.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Memory! Your landline is burning holes. Recover the damage. Bring it all home. Follow the breeze, just like a summer song. And stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
And I don't know about you guys. I've heard other people report on this for about the last year solid. I've been plagued, especially in the winter, by stink bugs. They're all over the place. And I tried to get rid of them at first, and then I just gave up and started naming them as pets. I had one recently fall into my martini, and it drowned in a bliss of London dry gin filled wonderment as it sank to the bottom. And right a while ago, while I was reporting the news on the nurse strikes, one crawled in my shirt, and I was trying to get it out while I was talking. I don't know if you heard that. But I've got a theory. I think the World Economic Forum, orchestrated by Klaus Schwab, were trying to tell us about the cicada problem, and that was a rope-a-dope. That was just to get us to focus on the cicadas, and we ignored the stink bugs, which I think could be possibly contain chips. Each stink bug could contain a chip that is spying on you right now. Crazy, I know, but you know how that World Economic Forum is and all of their antics. Wouldn't put it past them to get us to focus on the cicadas and ignore the stink bugs, but they're all at once crawling in my lamp right now. I hope it doesn't fall into my scotch. Let's go to the call screen before we do more news and take Sherry. Sherry in Kansas, you're up next.
Hi, Jeremy. Hey, years and years ago, I worked for Santa Fe in Kansas, and the interview that I heard before the U.S. Congress did something to keep them from striking was that the office staff people that work inside, they get sick leave. The people that work out in the elements, they don't get sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, how the heck is that even fair? Their job is more dangerous, most of them. And if it's the ones that aren't as dangerous, they have a lot of responsibility, you know. But especially the guys that are working out, you know, repairing the rails, and also the guys that are inspecting trains and stuff. And nowadays, you know, with the economy the way it is, those guys probably have to carry guns or something. You know, I remember here a couple years ago, there was a bunch of people just robbing trains when they were in the yard.
Yeah, Santa Fe Railway in Topeka, Kansas, right?
I'll bet it gets... Santa Fe, I worked for them before they went on a merger with Burlington Northern. Now it's the trains you see. Yeah, they're, you know, so it's BNSF now. But
back when you worked there, I'll bet it got really cold and people got sick a lot working out in the elements. If you're repairing railways outside when it's like weather we're about to get. You know,
yeah, and when there's a derail on the main line, you know, they have to get the main lines repaired real fast. So, you know, they want guys working till that line gets going again.
You know, when I was working as I was an Air Reserve technician for the Air Force Reserve, and it's a government job. And it's interesting, when you have jobs like that, you get all kinds of sick leave and all kinds of people to fill in for you if you're gone. But when you're dealing with corporations that the government controls, like railways and airlines, it's a different story, isn't it? They don't treat their people anywhere near like they treat their federal employees.
Well, this guy also said in this interview that they've cut 45,000 jobs. And, you know, over the whole United States, that may not sound like much, but, you know, that's just less people to, you know, when people are taking off for their vacations and sick leave, you know, if you're just cutting down to the bare bones. And then there was another thing, too, I heard that if you, you would get sick leave if you had a doctor's appointment, but you had to give them a month notice of when, you know, for your appointment. You know, some of these guys, when they had to go to the doctor, you have to go.
Right. So here's a question that I had when I was reporting the news on that. I was wondering what would happen if a large chunk of, there's about 150,000 rail workers now, according to the article. What if you say 20,000 of them just quit? How easy would it be to replace them? You know, what sort of skills are we talking and dedication? Like, they couldn't just replace them with immigrants, could they?
Well, now there are, around on the Santa Fe line where I worked, there were a lot of Mexicans that worked on the, what they call the section. You know, that's the repairing the rails and things like that. But still, you know, develop some skills, you know, unless you worked on that down in Mexico or wherever you were from. I don't think you could teach immigrants from Africa to do it, that's for sure.
One more question regarding that. So I've noticed with the unions in the last 50 years, they've become very diverse. Like you're mentioning, there's a lot of foreign workers that are not white European. And that has splintered the unions. You're not willing to stand together as well if you're diverse.
Well,
is that something you saw?
I didn't like the union part of it, just because the guys, and I didn't stay with the job but for 5 years, and they, you know, unless you build up seniority, you could not really have any say on the unions. And, you know, some of those guys were hurting themselves. They were just being what I thought was a little too lazy on some of the practices, you know. And but, like, when they would schedule a vote on something, the guys with more seniority could, you know, lay off to vote. And the guys with little seniority, they had to fill those jobs.
Yeah.
So I have mixed feelings about unions. I didn't think the UTU, which was United Transportation Union, I was not impressed with that. That's the first few. That's the only union I really was in. But
we had a tire company in Mayfield, Kentucky, and that they ended up closing down in like 04, 05, somewhere around there, and. You know, they had a great union and good pay and benefits, and I noticed that that's the downfall of a lot of the union members. They do get really lazy, you know, if they think they have a clout, and that you can't be lazy. I mean, when you're, you know, you gotta have them. They shouldn't want to fire you. They should want to think, wow, I can't replace this guy because he's such a good worker, or this gal, or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Thanks a lot,
but, you
Sherry.
Know, they can't. The way I see nurses nowadays is a lot. I had a friend that was a nurse, and she was actually worked a lot of dialysis thing. But I mean, she was working 12-hour shifts, and they're just working these nurses to death, and they're not keeping enough people on the floor for all the patients, and. So, nursing's a hard job.
Well, let's hope they'll have some bargaining over in Europe with 100,000 of them walking off. Maybe they'll have a bargaining and get better conditions. But thanks, Sherry, for the call.
All right. Bye.
Appreciate it. Got Vinny in Indiana up next. Vinny.
Hi, Jeremy. You're going through articles on the Stormer. I wonder if you listened to the second session of Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones.
I didn't listen to it. I heard other hosts comment on it, the debate.
Yeah, because Patrick
was it Mark?
Mark Collett were talking about it. It was really good because this time, you know, I thought the first performance of Ye and Nick was great. I mean, it was almost like, you know, I talked to Giuseppe about it. We were making the joke that it was like, you know, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello go to the Holocaust. I mean, they were just bouncing off. The way Ye and Fuentes were interacting was just hysterical. I mean, it was great timing and, you know, it was great. The second one was much more sober, much more serious. But I thought, you know, Fuentes was just on target. I mean, he was unflappable, and Alex Jones was just all over the place. I mean, he was really, you know, go ahead.
I've defended Nick. I mean, he's young and inexperienced. And, you know, there's some things in his past that people try to bring up. But, I mean, if he's bringing to the forefront the issue of Jewish power, you know, I say good for him. What I really liked, you remember the David Duke, Alex Jones debate, like late fall of 2015? People call it the Jonestown Massacre, where David Duke just handed Jones his ass. You know how Duke is.
That's not anyone who really wants to can do it if they get a shot.
It's interesting that Jones is willing to bring Fuentes on, but it's even more interesting that Jones is not willing to bring David Duke back on. Like, that was the only time. And Jones even called his Jewish producer in there and said, hey, you're a Jew. Is there any Jewish power? Are you controlling things? And the Jewish producer's like, no. That's really all Alex had. I mean, David just really did a good job. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Nick for doing that. And if he's bringing that to the mainstream, I don't know how we can go wrong.
Well, what I think is Jones is in a tough spot because, you know, his career was created by Jewish handlers. I mentioned Jeff Schmalian, and Brother Nathaniel mentions this guy. And they set Jones up initially with that he could talk about anything he wanted as long as it wasn't about he deflected attention from Jews. And whenever there was an issue where Jews were involved, you know, he could talk about the Chi-Coms or this or that, or just Jones being Jones. There's so many people, like if you bring up Sandy Hook, like when Sandy Hook happened, there were a lot of very serious people. I mean, I remember listening to local talk radio in Indianapolis, and people who were police officers and crime scene investigators saying, hey, there's something wrong here. You know, I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but here's what's wrong here. And the police officer and actually school safety investigator and a consultant, Wolfgang Holbig, he really was out front on this. And if you've seen his documents, they're phenomenal. And there were all sorts of really skilled video analysts and just super bright people who, you know, incognito put out videos and said, this is wrong, this doesn't make sense. This person is clearly an actor, and it was amazing. But then Jones got involved with it, and a lot of people, after that point, they only know about Sandy Hook through Alex Jones. And, well, Alex Jones, you know, he's Mr. Chemtrails and all this other stuff. So, you know, and I think he was very useful for Jews about this. But if this Sandy Hook thing blows up, where people say, I don't care how much you sue Alex Jones for, I'm not buying your Sandy Hook story. This stinks. And, you know, Jones is kind of caught in a hard point because he's going to get taken down on Sandy Hook. And his only out is you know, he breaks his pact with the devil.
Well, I guess he's declared bankruptcy and he's still broadcasting. So they didn't take him down too hard. That kind of makes me wonder about him. You know, why they let him still go on.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure if they think that as long as he's around, Sandy Hook is radioactive. But, you know, there's things that Jones has screamed about for years. Like, you know, he was one of the very first persons who was negative on vaccines. And he was one of the very first persons who was complaining about contaminants in the food supply and in the water that was causing and, you know, endocrine disruption and all sorts of problems. You know, Mr., you know, Frog's gay, you know. And now people say, yeah, the frogs are turning gay, and we are too. So Jones is, I don't know how this plays out. I don't think he can just back away from people like Fuentes. And his audience, if they got rid of Jones, you know, his audience that came from when Jones first appeared on the scene, what options do people have? They had Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, and Sean Hannity. Limbaugh's gone. People aren't going to go back to, you know, they've tried to create safer alternatives, you know, than Limbaugh. They're trying, but they haven't found up, terrestrial talk radio hasn't found a replacement for Limbaugh. So there's a whole audience out there. Where are they going to go? Are they going to go to guys like Nick Fuentes?
Well, I mean, no, Rush Limbaugh hasn't been replaced officially on talk radio, but I've got the theory that Tucker Carlson sort of took over Rush's listeners and that Tucker is the new Rush, you know, in that he brings you to the precipice of the truth and then redirects you, you know, to something else because Tucker's not going to talk about Jewish power. So I think Tucker's taken the place of Rush, and that's where the audience went. I mean, that's what I've found in my experience of talking to people that listened to Rush for years and years, and now they're big Tucker fans. So that's probably where they went. No, I don't think they're going. I think they're using Jones. If I were going to be conspiratorial, I would say they're using Jones to discredit Nick, is what they would try to do.
Good point in that is that the one caller that Jones took when Nick was on, he's your classic, you know, Christian Zionist type. You know, you can't, he's trying to tell Nick you can't be hard on the Jews because they're God's chosen people. And, you know, people talk about Texas seceding from the Union. It's like, oh my God, Texas is full of rabid Christian Zionists. So I don't see that happening.
Vinny, hold that thought. We've got the break coming up, and I'll hold you over to the other side. You can finish that.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
The final segment of In Plain Sight, talking to Vinny in Indiana, and I've got this Klaus Schwab stink bug looking right at me, recording my every move. Vinny, you were talking about the unlikelihood of Texas seceding because of the vast amount of Christian Zionists. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, because, you know, the Christian Zionists are such a force in Texas and in Florida. I mean, where how many state legislatures in both states, you know, when they break into politics, they get, you know, like here in Indiana, how many of our state legislatures, when they break in the politics and they want support, you know, first thing they do is they take that flight over to Israel. I mean, I've been to state reps and you go to their office and, you know, there's a picture of them with rabbis in Israel. I'm not kidding.
Well, that is the Ron DeSantis way. I can imagine John Hagee down there doing a grift, you know, saying support secession so that we can, as Texas citizens, clearly support Israel better than the federal government. I could just see that.
Yeah.
But,
go ahead. This caller who called into Alex Jones when Nick was on there, he was saying, I can't have you on Alex Jones talking the way you do because I'm in the car with my 14-year-old daughter, and I want to raise her in Christian Zionism too. And, Nick, you're going to ruin all this for the younger generation. I thought, like, that was amazing.
Yeah, like I said, the young man's doing a lot of good. I wanted to touch on this question of secession before the show ends and get your opinion. I don't see secession as like states breaking away like they did, you know, pre-Civil War, War of Northern Aggression. I just see it as legislatures making laws that fly in the face of the federal government and forcing some sort of a standoff, which would probably be financial. I mean, the majority of so-called conservative states have enacted a lot of legislation that are anti-COVID and anti-child training. So I would be interested to see how that works out. I would hope for the total collapse of the federal government and the states just to regather and start from scratch. But what would that look like if so many of the states are filled with Christian Zionists? Because the Christian Zionists, they're against COVID. They're against child trainingism too. So, you know, what would it look like?
You know, people try to, when they bring up secession, they have this, 1860s mindset. And to me, a critical difference between 1860 and today is that because of Christian Zionists, the Jews have a fifth column in every single state. And that fifth column, you know, I hate to say it, it's in here in Indiana, it's a big chunk of the Republican Party. I mean, WIBC, MS Communications, they're the people who put Alex Jones in business. And, I met people at, you know, Stop the Steal rallies. And, you know, we got to have Trump because Trump's is the guy who defends Israel. And it's just like, wow, I couldn't believe it. You can't outrun the electric rabbi. That's the problem that we're facing.
Thanks a lot for the call, Vinny. We're at the end of the show. Please tune in tomorrow night for the Patrick and Jeremy show. You guys stay classy.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.